Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. The show is currently heard in over 58 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Belgium, Panama, Japan, Malaysia, all of Europe. So I want to thank you to those who are tuning in from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. And you can listen to us throughout the week live at noon Eastern time. And then in September, we'll go back to the 5:30 p.m. Eastern time spot. Now you can join us in our Facebook community, never miss an episode, and interact with the guests and myself at Life Transformation Radio Community. Please join the Facebook community. You can subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, the Google Play Music app, or wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. On the show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, and amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So everybody, please help me welcome to the show, Stephen Colon. What is up, my friend?
What's up, man? What is up, audience? I appreciate you having me on your show and giving me the opportunity to visit with you. I'm doing great. What's going on with you?
This is an absolute friggin' honor, man. You have an amazing show that I was just on, and you're an exceptional host. And I was like, dude, I have to have you on my show, man. This is awesome. So today's a great day. Wednesday, June 11th, as we broadcast this. And yeah, man, woke up pretty good today. So if you're ready to go, let's do this.
Let's jump right in. Yeah, I'm absolutely ready for it. I'm excited. So, today is what they call hump day, right? I think that's what.
Yeah.
A term of endearment in a lot of cases.
Oh, yeah. So the title of this episode is The Alpha Mindset with Stephen Colon. Knucklehead Podcast is a podcast where Stephen and his guests discuss mistakes that they made, provide perspective to people who could benefit from learning, and they spend time with entrepreneurs largely with a military background. Stephen spent almost 10 years active duty and in the reserves for the United States Marine Corps. He grew up working construction and seeing how somebody willing to work could run their own business. He bought his first business from the guy in the Air Force whenever he was in Iraq. It was a lawn care company, and Stephen still gets crap to this day from his wife about their slogan, one blade at a time. Stephen sold the equipment and the list of clients to someone who is now running the lawn care business after he left and immediately started working on side projects he was pursuing full time. Stephen says that business is fascinating, consumers are interesting, but the problem-solving component of running a business has always been something that's been attractive to him. He encourages people to be alpha of their life rather than beta. So he says his hashtag is don't be beta and hashtag get some wins and go dominate with a hashtag alpha mindset. You can look at the all the show notes right there, and you can look at facebook.com/podknuckle, Instagram, Twitter's all there, and go to the website knucklehead.wpengine.com/shop. Go check him out. Go check out his podcast. It's amazing. Knucklehead Podcast. So, dude, the first question I always ask the guests is why? Why join the Marines? Why start a podcast? Why do you do what you do?
It's a really good question. So, Simon Sinek has a philosophy that you you know, you start with why, right? As opposed to coming at it from a, I guess, from a surface level standpoint, rather than, I mean, you can do that. You can start with a surface level question and then eventually get to why. But if you start with why, in a lot of cases, you'll actually end up with a little bit more of a compelling story. You'll come up with a compelling, really just a kind of a compelling way of going about what it is that you do every day. So my why, whenever I was a kid, it ties in very, very closely as to why I do what I do every day today. My dad is a phenomenal guy. He was adopted. He wasn't necessarily shown a tremendous example in terms of a male role model. But he worked with what he had, right? But that flawed understanding of what it was to be a man or a male led to a really dysfunctional understanding of my development as a young kid. So my why has always been to raise a family, to be a good husband, to be a solid provider. And I've failed absolutely horribly as a husband, as a provider, and as a dad in so many instances. But I realized that if I was trying to be perfect, I was always going to fail. And I think that due in large part to the messages that we receive in society, whether it be through entertainment messages in movies or televisions or television or radio shows or whatever the case may be, a large part of our attention is captured through entertainment as opposed to substantive self-development and self-improvement or leadership development enhancing material.
Right.
And it's not for a lack of material. It's just because that's what's more entertaining, which is why Hollywood is so immensely successful.
So
to answer your question, why? It's so I can wake up in the morning and I can look myself in the mirror knowing that I did everything I could the day before and knowing that I'm going to go into that day being the best father, the best person, best husband, best supporter, and best provider I can be.
Dude, I love it, man. I love it. You know, I think it's an interesting question, you know, because they're like, well, I do it because I love it. You know, and then I get answers like that are just like, it's so deep and it's real thought out. And it's like, dude, I you know, when it becomes personal, right? When the why is like super personal, I think you draw more passion out of it. Right. And you start fully accepting like this is a part of me and it's not just, you know, a checkbox on a business check sheet, like mission statement. Yep. Why? Yep. Vision. Yep. Like, it becomes like your whole thing, man. It becomes the driving forward focus. That's what I think about the why. Yeah, man.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think that there's, like, we had a guest on our podcast, and the reason why we had Knucklehead Podcast as a title is Knucklehead is kind of a powerful term that insinuates a lot of different things to a lot of different folks. And so we want to be relevant in more than just people who are like us. We want to be relevant to people who think a little bit differently than we do. So that's why we use provocative language like "don't be beta" because we want to get liberals' attention. We want to say things like "get them win" because we want conservatives to be attracted to winning, because, you know, that's kind of what conservatives, at least politically now, do, right? So we're not trying to create a politically charged message. However, what we're trying to do is we're trying to promote the idea of individual responsibility. And in no way, shape, or form are we subject matter experts in that arena. What we are is we're just experienced in screwing up and failing and understanding that there carries with it the seed of equivalent or greater benefit. So every adversity carries with it the ability to, you know, strip apart the you know, the compelling lesson that will help you fail forward. And it's not an easy thing to do. And in a lot of cases, you need somebody else to help you see that. So you need somebody else's perspective. And so you're talking about something that's not easy to talk to somebody else about. And then you're also talking about an exercise that's not easy to do to begin with. So most people won't do those two things. They won't talk to somebody else about it, and they won't and they won't take the time to analyze what it is that they did wrong. So we wanted to create an atmosphere and an environment where people could go, oh, well, geez Louise, this guy ran out of line at boot camp and pissed and got his weapon taken away. He pissed on the side of the building and almost ran into the head with his weapon. Of course he's going to get smoked by a drill instructor. Geez, if that guy's willing to tell that to a live audience, then oh my gosh, my failure to get out of bed when my alarm went off right away isn't such a big deal. You know, this guy screwed up, or this guy bankrupted a business, or this guy, you know, cheated on his wife, or this guy, you know, committed a crime and went through paying the price socially by going to prison or jail, and was able to transform their life because of the mistakes that they've made. You know, we want to embrace screwing up and making mistakes so we can tell people to fail forward.
Yeah. Which is actually an amazing book and course curriculum by John Maxwell. I facilitated that course a couple of times, and it's just so, so powerful. You know, I think that it's interesting that you talk about you want people to fail forward, and you want people to, you know, to experience that failure so that, you know, they don't do it again, you know, and they learn from mistakes. And, you know, over and over again, we see times where people are just in this wheel. And they're like this vicious cycle, this circle of, I'm going to do better. No, I'm not. I'm going to do better. No, I'm not. And they're just like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And they keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Like, dude, that's insanity. What are you doing? And we see it, but they don't see it. And I think that when I was younger, you know, I was born in 83, and they say, you know, failing's bad. Like, don't be a failure. You got to be a success. You got to be a failure. Nowadays, it's like, no, dude, you got to fail. Like, that's how you learn. You learn through failure. And you grow from failure. And that's not what I was told when I was a kid. Failure was bad. Stay away from failure. Don't ever fail. And I think it's interesting that now we want to fail forward. Like, it's okay to fail, but learn from it, right? It's like that caveat. Like, it's okay to fail, but just learn from the failure and move on.
Absolutely. It's easier to add. So I've always, well, I haven't always, but I've kind of operated under this mantra of, you know, it's always easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission in some cases, right?
So, yep.
You know, you move forward, and what that does is it was really just trying, you know, myself trying to convince me that it was okay to go ahead and take the first or second, maybe even third step towards an unknown, because it's always easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. I mean, the hardest thing on the planet to steer is a parked car. So if you have if you have something that's not moving forward, then how can you reduce the barrier to entry or reduce the ability for somebody to get moving? As we all know, that action is the only thing that cures fear. So the onus is then on the individual to start taking action or start taking forward motion to get something going. However, in business, that's not always the best case, and it's not always the best practice, because you're taught that if you move forward without an organized, buttoned up, specific, heavily vetted plan, your endeavor will fail. And yeah, it's a kind of a confusing message, you know, for folks that don't either do one of two things. They don't listen to the right people, or they listen to too many people.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree with that. So tell us about a transformational moment that, had this not happened, maybe your life would be different. Tell us about a transformational moment that happened that put you on the path to what you're doing right now.
Well, a transformational moment for me was, there's many, but for what I'm doing right this second, without running the risk of losing credibility by saying something general like that, what I mean by there was a lot of transformational moments is there wasn't one defining moment that caused me to be to where I am today. I think that's a common misconception, that there was one thing that happened that was the difference. And in fact, we know that you don't add 50 pounds of weight overnight. It happens over time. You know, you don't lose weight overnight. You lose weight in time. But the thing that happened to me most recently in terms of transformation was a mistake where I had somebody who was a close coworker of mine that that wasn't being honest with my employer. And as an entrepreneur, you know, you hear, okay, well, hold on for a second. I thought you said you were an entrepreneur. You have an entrepreneur, but yet you're talking about your employer. You can walk and chew gum. I mean, in today's society, you need to be able to walk and chew gum. Meaning,
right,
you're a side project. You're an entrepreneur, but yet you can still be loyal to an employer, right? You can do things, two
yeah.
things at once. So I was working, with a situation where somebody was not being honest, and I, the way that I operate, I've been known to maybe act before I think. And in this case, I didn't react very thoughtfully. I just reacted. And in that moment, I confronted this individual, and in the process, was very upset that they would call into question my character and integrity. So I communicated with my wife. I texted my wife about what took place. And it turns out that in that moment, I was texting something kind of inappropriate. And I actually ended up texting the person that I was confronting instead of
Oops.
My wife. So I made that mistake and I screwed
oh, no.
up and it cost me, dearly. I mean, if you wanted me to exactly put a number to
yeah.
it probably cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow. You know, yeah, that's tough, man.
Yeah, and when you think about
yeah.
it, it's a situation where, okay, I identified a problem. The problem
yeah.
wasn't so much so that the person was being dishonest. The problem was I allowed in an environment where they felt it was okay to do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I created through either my lack of thought prior to or my overreactiveness prior to that incident. An environment
mm-hmm.
where I wasn't approachable, or that maybe there was something that I could have done earlier in the process that would allow that person the ability to come up and just clarify a misunderstanding. Because a lot of these issues are rooted in just a miscommunication or misunderstanding. So if I wasn't being available, if I hadn't made myself available earlier in the process, I could have circumvented that entire situation. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
You screw up and you're
yeah.
going to be able to look back on it and take ownership and responsibility. It's not her fault. It's not his fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's mine. And I think that people who pretend that it's always somebody else's fault always have to go up and ask those people for permission to fix it, as opposed to taking ownership and fixing it themselves.
Yes. Oh, yes. I know sometimes, like, I even think back, I mean, I try not to live a life of regret. Like, I really am like, hey, man, whatever happens, happens. That's what it is. You just got to take steps forward to, like, not do that again. But there's been so many times, I don't know why. And I'm kind of the same way, like, kind of talk without kind of running it through the risk process, right? Like, if I say this, what's the consequences? And, yeah, I've said so much stupid stuff over the years, most of the time because I was drinking. But, you know, I've just said some things I don't know. I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I said that. Like, I wonder what this person's doing nowadays, because I totally hurt them and I totally like ruined a friendship because of something that I said or something I felt right at the time. And now I look back at it, I'm like, yeah, it probably wasn't the right thing to do, you know? So I just try to learn from those moments that pop into my mind and go, oh yeah, I remember this time and that sucked. I don't want to do that again. That wasn't fun.
Well, when you apply logic to, you know, to a scenario like that, Sean, what you're doing is you're assuming that in that moment you're acting logically, when in fact we're just reacting very emotionally. And, you know, I know I'm guilty of this, and I apologize in advance to my wife for saying this, but it just came up that, you know, I know there's been many times as a husband and any husbands that happen to be listening to this. And if you're not a husband yet, you're in a relationship. So, you know, this may help you. But I would listen to, you know, what my wife's reaction to a particular set of circumstances would be. And I would sit there and rationalize it. And I would make the mistake of saying, well, that's not valid, right? Because you're reacting so emotionally that it doesn't make sense. Then I would communicate that, like saying, I would categorize her reaction as not valid because it was emotionally charged, as opposed to validating her reaction and allowing me to take ownership for the thing that I did that caused her to react emotionally. So really it comes back to, hey, yeah, it was kind of my fault for her to react that way. And that's counter right. to, you know, that's counter to like, I guess a positive relationship experience where, you know, everybody has they own their reactions. And my whole goal was just to try to mitigate the problem. And I wanted to eliminate pressure and, you know, give her space. And no, really what it was is I just wanted to be right. And because of my ego,
yeah.
because of my ego, now all of a sudden there's a bigger problem. And that's probably what she was reacting to begin with. Because I was just being a knucklehead mm-hmm. and wanted to be right instead of shutting up and listening and just helping her and just being what she needed. I mean, that's what you're supposed to be in the relationship anyway.
Yes. Oh, yeah, man. So true. So what do you do now? And what do you enjoy most about it?
That's a good question. So I started a government contracting business last July where I would, you know, query through FBO. And we essentially what we would do is we would aggregate government need and we'd connect with industries, entities, and businesses that don't have that level of expertise on their staff. And so we augment that need by helping them build kind of B2G portfolios. So that's what I do full time now. I run that business. I host Knucklehead Podcast and I live here in Austin. So Austin always has a compelling technology need and they have a compelling technology sales leadership opportunities that exist. And so I'm kind of going through the process right now, talking with a few businesses who have a compelling technology against an existing industry need, and they're also in need of sales leadership and management.
Oh, very cool, very cool. I used to not so much anymore, but in the past couple of years, I used to work for a company called Elevate USA, and they were a government training professional seminar company, is what they were. They were a professional seminar company. And so they would only do like government contracts where I'd have to go and do like a suicide awareness training or change management, or, you know, somebody else would go out and do some kind of housing project, something or other, you know, training for these people who do, but it's only like, I've been to DC so many times, but you go into these government organizations and they're like, I need someone to teach us this change management or this leadership training or whatever. And it's all part of like their certification process. They have to have certain classes or trainings for them to be fully certified in what they're doing or whatever. I used to do that. That was pretty cool. But yeah, man, I think that's really cool. Like the whole government contract, there's a lot of work, right? I mean, there's a ton of work out there. If you know where to find it and you know like what you're doing, great 36, work.
36,000 opportunities currently on federal business opportunities. Currently,
yep.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's low hanging fruit. You know, I mean, there was if you're familiar with the military, and I know you are, but I'm just talking more specifically to your audience that if they if they're familiar with what a cargo net is or an obstacle course, where the cargo net falls in the obstacle courses that they've ran or that they're familiar with, there's those materials that are out there. Well, the government communicates that need to industry. It's not as if the government produces anything. They have to outsource everything. And so they ask industry, hey, do you know where I can get a cargo net? And so there's a standard process that you have to follow in order to answer the question. Yeah, I actually know. I know where to get a cargo net. Whereas in traditional business, it's simply just that conversational. Government, it's not quite that way.
Right. Awesome, man. I like it a lot. I think that that you have an interesting way of looking at things. So tell me about the alpha mindset. Like, what does it mean to don't be beta? Like, what does all that mean?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. It's funny. One of my best friends growing up had asked me, because I had a podcast episode where we actually go through essentially the definition of the term snowflake, right? Or we expand on what don't be beta means, right? And
so really,
again, it just goes back to getting people's attention, as opposed to getting people's attention and educating them in the process. We're looking to get people's attention. And if we can get people's attention and get them at least listening or engaged in the conversation, it's our way of saying, you're going to screw up whatever your endeavor is. You can be a subject matter expert, a professor at a university, a project manager, a surgeon, a dentist, a dad, a stay-at-home mom, an auto mechanic, you name it. You will screw up. You may not screw up that day doing what it is that you're doing in that moment. However, you will. At some point in time, you will screw up.
Right.
We want to promote the environment that when you screw up, it doesn't tear you down. And it's very easy in today's society to have this kind of perception or image that, you know, either you have it more together than what you really do, or you're perfect in some way, shape, or form, or that you're incapable of mistakes, or if anybody questions your then you're not as educated, or you're incapable. And just that whole mindset it's debilitating. It doesn't facilitate. Carol Dweck wrote an incredible book called Mindset, where she delineates between growth and fixed mindset. And so a growth mindset is essentially categorized by saying, don't be beta. Don't shirk against this challenge right now. You're going to fail. It's okay. Put together a little bit of a plan, and when you fail, make an adjustment and go try again. And that's essentially what the encouragement is.
Boom. I love it. And there's always a recurring theme, like, we need to get people's attention. Like, we really want to, you know what I mean? Like, we got to get their attention. We got to, like, it's almost like you want them to wake them up, like, understand. There's so many conversations that I have daily that are so closed-minded. I'm like, do you, like I could talk in fact to some people. Like, the world-renowned researcher concluded that this happened. Like, nope, it's wrong. Nope, that's not right. Like, why? Like, I have, like, pages of research and facts, and, like, this stuff backs it up. Like, 2 + 2 = 4. No, it's not. Nope, you're wrong. Like, I try not to have conversations with these people anymore. I'm just like, you know what? Whatever. Like, I'm not trying to change nobody's mind anymore. Because before, I try to fight every battle. I'm like, no, it's this, like, it's literally this way. And I'm just like, you know what? Whatever. I don't have time for this. But I think the world just needs to wake up. You know what I mean? And I literally had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they said, here's the mindset that people should have. As a kid or as a baby, when they try to start walking and they fall, the parents don't go, oh, you know what? Maybe walking isn't for you. You should stop that. You shouldn't try to walk anymore. You know, we don't do that. We're like, come on, you can do it. Like, we're encouraging them. But then we become a kid, we become an adult, and we're like, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. You know, maybe it's like, no, just keep going. It was a very interesting conversation that I had.
It sounds like a very almost frustrating conversation too, if your end goal is to help somebody wake up, right? And so it goes back to, you know, beginning with the end in mind. I've heard it categorized, right? So if you begin with the end in mind, you're not really frustrated, because if your end goal is to change people's minds, or if your end goal is to influence, I guess your way of thinking or so, or impose your will on somebody else, then you're always going to be frustrated, because people are always going to do what people want to do. And
right.
That also insinuates that people stop and take the time to actually do what it is that they want to do. And the majority of people that are at, when I say the majority, I'll be specific. There was a book called Success, the Glenn Bland Method, where he talks about, I believe he actually drills it down to what 87% of people don't even think about their goals. There's 10% of folks that actually do think about what it is that they'd like to accomplish over the course of their lifetime. And then there's 3% that actually take the time to write down what their goals are and come up and formulate plans in order to make that the case.
Right.
And if you're a knuckle dragger like me, if you're a knucklehead like me, 87 plus 10 plus 3 equals 100. So that would include everybody. I didn't understand that because I didn't know how to do math. I'm just a knucklehead. I'm a knuckle dragging Marine. But all of that adds up to everybody. So that means, okay, well, that if there's 3% of folks that take the time to write down their goals and they come up with plans and lockstep on how to accomplish those things, then what is the result of those activities? Well, they accomplish in their lifetime up to 50 times more than the 10% of folks that take the time to sit down and actually think about it, but they don't write it down. So is then given that data set, given that would you assume then that it's a good idea if you want to accomplish something and you want to accomplish something that you intended and you want to accomplish something that you intended in a time frame that would be advantageous to you accomplishing it, that you do nothing about it, that you think about it, or you think about it and write it down? Well, based off of that, you'd probably think about it, write it down, and then start taking action against it. So.
Yep, absolutely. That's what I do. I literally, like, my whiteboard is full of the things that I'm working on, things that I need to get done, the to-do list, I always tell everybody you need to schedule your success. Like, schedule it. Like, oh, I want to write a book. Okay, well, when do you want to release it? I don't know. Well, pick a date. Pick a date, maybe, I don't know, 6 months from now, a year from now, whatever. Pick a date. Say, this is my book launch. Because once you put a date on it and once you write it down and say, by this time, I'm going to do it, like, it's almost like, okay, I guess I'll get started. You know what I mean? Like, it's real now because, you know, I'd love to do this, but I don't have a date in mind and it sounds really great, you know? So, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You got to write it down and then you got to start taking action on it. I reverse engineer everything. I literally, like, my life was transformed when I adopted this principle and reverse engineered everything. If I'm going to be a speaker, I need to get booked to speak. So what does that look like? So if I want, I figured, I was like, let's do like 500 events, you know, let me apply to speak to like maybe 500, because it's kind of a numbers game and email game and whatever. So just by applying to 2 events Monday through Friday, that's 10 events a week. 4 weeks is 40 events a month. Times 12 months is 480 events that I apply to every year. If I stay the course, that's 480 events. I'm sure I can speak to at least a quarter of those events. Right? I mean, that's a lot of events for you to get denied from, unless you just absolutely suck at writing proposals, and then there's just no hope. But I reverse engineer everything, you know, and I start writing things down. Like, okay, I got to do this, got to do this. And it's on my daily schedule. And I schedule everything. That's like the number one rule of success is like, schedule everything. This is scheduled. This podcast is scheduled. You have things scheduled after this. I have scheduled to do this and that, you know, throughout the day. And once it's scheduled, it's like, okay, it's real. It's going to happen. We need to make it happen. But if you just say things like, you know, hey, I just kind of want to do this. Well, do you want to do it or you kind of want to do it?
I think that there's a lot of folks out there that, and myself included, and I'm not just saying this generally, they don't know, right? They really do not know what it is that they want to do. They tie what it is that they do to, they tie what it is that they do to this, I guess, like making an impact. I mean, I've heard it said time and time again.
These speakers
that are like, I want to make an impact. Simon Sinek had a really good video that he did.
Yep.
He was a guest on a show. You know what I'm talking about? Obviously.
Yeah, the millennial video.
Yeah, there you go. It's okay. So that particular one, he talked about. He was like, "What making an impact? What does that even mean?" right? Or you know what? I'm going to quit my job where I'm making, you know, 70 or 80 grand, and I'm going to quit my job because it's not what I want to do. It's like, well, okay, well, what is it that you want to do? Yeah, I don't know. I just want to, you know, I want to be important, or I want to make an impact. And I think it's very important that as that millennial or and or person that is out there, kind of caught in the wind, so to speak, in that moment, realize that if they literally have the power to create life, and they have the power to take life. So they are extremely powerful. And for them not knowing what it is that they want to do, well, if you want to look at it biologically, there is a free radical inside your body that can do substantial amounts of damage. And actually you can create long-term sickness if there's enough free radicals going on inside your body. And my wife's a nutrition major, so if I'm screwing this up, she may be rolling her eyes listening to me talk about it now, but there's things that take place inside your body that if there's enough of them, you can really do some significant damage and cause long-term issues and challenges. So it's important for people to take the time, maybe not necessarily condense it so much so that to where they're putting so much stress where they can't function or operate, but they do need to set aside some time to figure out, you know, what the next 2 years looks like, or next 2 weeks, or next 2 months. Because all of the what you do over the next 2 weeks will impact the next 2 months and will impact your next 2 years. And who you surround yourself with will actually reinforce, you know, the support network that you have there whenever things go south. So anyway, I started all that by saying that most people don't know. And I think that the data could really support that, that most people don't take the time to stop and think.
Yep. Definitely. And you talked about a support network. So let's talk about that. Who's been your biggest influencers? Are you a Gary Vee guy? Are you a Les Brown? And we talked about Simon Sinek, which is the guy is absolutely incredible. Who do you follow? You know, who's your influencers?
That's a good question. So I'm just as guilty as everybody else when it comes to being entertained. There's a lot of influencers out there who are very entertaining, right? Gary Vee is very entertaining. Gary Vee is not that he's not substantive, but I've never had a conversation with him about, you know, what should I do with, you know, this 5 grand bonus or, you know, that type of thing. I've never had a conversation with him from a counseling standpoint. So there's a lot of educators and influencers that are very entertaining. So I try as hard as possible to delineate between who's entertaining and who's actually influential. I lean more towards kind of Grant Cardone's methodology, just because I'm a sales guy myself. I really enjoy his material. I really enjoy his approach. However, if you were going to audit my bookshelf, or you were going to audit my search history, you would see more Vern Harnish scaling up kind of methodologies, or Sandler sales methodologies that kind of influence and permeate kind of my day in and day out daily operational pattern. So Vern Harnish, cool. Scaling up, Rockefeller Habits, the mastering the Rockefeller Habits. There's a consulting group that's out there called Gazelles. There was, a very influential guy indirectly for me. His name's Rob Lynch here in Austin. There's a gentleman who's a VP of client success at a company called Benaplace here in Austin named Adam Boyd. He's a good friend of mine too. So he just, you know, these are guys that they don't know it, but indirectly I'll go back and I'll look at messages that I've gotten from them, or I'll talk with them specifically, and they're actually mentoring me through that process. At the same time, I'm kind of entertained by, you know, your Patrick Bet-Davids and your, you know, Matt Sapalas and your Grant Cardones and those guys.
Oh, wow. Pretty cool. You know, I definitely love Grant Cardone's stuff. There was one that I recently watched that absolutely blew my mind, and I think I replayed it. Gosh, probably 4 or 5 times. And he's like, I want to address something here right now where you have this analysis paralysis, and you have this this idea that everything that I say is absolute stone and gold and everything else, you know? And I was like, yeah, like that's so true. And he says, Dave Ramsey doesn't want debt. He thinks debt's bad. He's like, I love debt. I want you to get more debt. I want other people to pay off my debt. That's what I want. You know, Dave Ramsey says, you got to save money. He's like, I'm not saving nothing. Every ounce of coin that I have goes back in, you know, it's recirculating and it's, you know, I don't save nothing. You know, like, and he says, this is just an example that there's so much stuff on the internet. We have endless amounts of knowledge, and like, there's literally no excuse today to live life at a lower level. And I was like, man, I felt like he was just talking to me because, you know, I see one thing. I'm like, well, this speaker said this, but then this speaker said this. Well, this podcaster is doing this, but then this other one says to do this. It's like, they're so conflicting. Like, what do I do? You know? And then I watched that video. I'm like, holy crap, this is awesome. So after that, I'm like, look, whatever works, chalk it up in the win column. Whatever doesn't work, put it off to the side and just keep on testing and testing and testing all the time. See what works. That's pretty much what I've been doing.
Well, that's a phenomenal example of somebody who's kind of been there, done that, in communicating something that they've witnessed and observed, you know, because they have a substantial data set in order to be able to kind of pull that insight from, right? And so that in itself is an example of how business. And so, I'm not, you know, none of the businesses that I've had or owned in my lifetime are at Cardone Capital's level, right? In terms of revenue generation and profitability, right? So what I'm saying kind of falls on deaf ears sometimes. And I equate, in some cases, somebody who's like me is, you know, standing in the parking lot, screaming at the top of their lungs, trying to get attention. When in fact, what I'm really just looking to do is I'm just looking to start a conversation, and through that conversation, I'm going to have multiple conversations, and in time, these conversations will accumulate, and then the aggregate total of the conversations that I've had will equal to the amount of influence that I've had with those people that I've had those conversations with, as opposed to standing in the parking lot screaming. So I say all that to say that when it comes to a business, a lot of times the 90-day window to show profitability to your shareholders or to show performance over your share, there's such a short amount of time where they want to see the immediate result that they don't give people enough rope in order to go and show that that their idea or their methodology or their approach worked. A lot of times, yep. You're not given enough leash, and it's access to resources or it's fear mentality that will condense that timeline down or whatever the case may be. But I just sat at a business here on Monday and was talking with one of the managers there, and they said, hey, listen, I had an idea, and I took it to my manager, my director, and I told them about it, and then I asked for permission. And they stopped me and they said, don't ever ask me for permission again. If it works, go do it. If it doesn't, then don't do it again. And I thought that was a very healthy way of looking at it. I mean, obviously, you got to use some common sense. He used common sense by going and communicating and getting a better idea. But he asked for permission. And I think a lot of cases that, do I have permission to do this, stops people from taking those initial few steps that are needed in order to get information or in order to get the experience necessary to actually have a, you know, a worthwhile insight.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. You know, being in the military, we just kind of have that mentality of asking forgiveness later, you know. It's just, I don't know why, but I think it's a military thing. Like, I'm going to go do this, or you get a direction. You're like, hey, make sure this happens. And you're like, all right. And then you just go, try to make it happen no matter what it takes, you know? And they're like, okay, maybe you did that. I'm like, well, I accomplished a mission though. Like, well, yeah, that's true. So at least in my job as an aircraft mechanic, you know, I mean, we just get things done and make sure the jets are flying, you know? So I like the mentality, you know, that you bring to the table, man. I really appreciate it. It's refreshing. I love it. I love the way your mind works. So really appreciate that.
For sure. So talk
about some resources that you dropped like a ton of books, man. I've been writing these down. Most of them I've read or heard of. The one that you said earlier, Varn.
Vern Harnish?
Harnish, yeah. Haven't heard that. I think maybe I've heard of Scaling Up, but I doubt it. But I haven't heard of that person.
Sure.
So what are some resources that you recommend? Is it podcasts? Is it books? Is it social media, websites? Like, what are some resources that you always recommend to people?
It's a really good question. So the reason why I started podcasting was because I want to be relevant to my kids' generation, right? I want to be able to influence be relevant to my 7-year-old and 4-year-old son in a few years. And podcasts, for lack of a better term, are kind of cool as opposed to flipping on a radio show and listening to, 1560 AM or whatever the case may be. And I say that in hopes that somebody who's listening to 1560 AM goes, oh yeah, I do kind of think of podcasts as kind of cool. I may not tell you about it, but I may think that. Mm-hmm. So whether it's YouTube, podcasts, Daily Motion, however you engage with the material, don't get wrapped around the axle about the medium that you choose. However, just be largely honed in on why you're deciding to engage in that. And then be very, very cautious about overindulging in one of those mediums. I heard it said a long time ago that, if you've ever met somebody who's so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, right? That they just get so, wrapped into their the scripture that they're reading, that they beat people over the head with it, as opposed to learning the lesson that scripture taught you, and just go and operating your life accordingly, and just communicating with people and meeting people where they're at their need. So, in terms of answering specifics to your question, my favorite books that I've gone back to is Think and Grow Rich. And it was suggested to me by a group of guys that helped me through a period of time in my life. That group has kind of served its purpose. It's now run its course, but those guys suggested that book, and I thought it was largely impactful. I like the Developing the Leader Within You by John Maxwell. Or if you're an audiobook guy, then listen to those audiobooks. Podcasts that I think are really, really good to get people's perspectives. I like Entrepreneur on Fire. I like listening to people like Dan Dwyer. I like the kind of the military strategists, just because I'm a little bit of a history dork, and I like that type of material. But I also kind of subscribe to the whole pattern interrupt methodology that Sandler promotes.
Yep.
So hopefully people listening to this will take this the right way, and don't classify me as a bigot. But there's a book called The South Was Right. Which is a very kind of controversial way of going about American history. And, you can read that book and get a different perspective. And I like kind of that going against the grain to a certain extent. One, just because then it kind of keeps me on my toes and keeps things fresh. But again, to answer your question, I don't think that any one medium works really well. And if you overindulge in one, you'll probably become stale really quickly. So you need to kind of bring all of them together.
Very cool, man. I appreciate that.
For sure.
So talk about where you're headed now, man. What kind of new adventures, businesses, family, what's on the books for the rest of 2018?
That's a great question. So we are moving. So we're moving here locally. I'm really excited. We're actually, contrary to what Grant Cardone teaches, we're actually buying our first house, so I'm absolutely stoked about that. And I'm not giving financial advice here, so I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with them. It's just what we're doing, and I'm stoked about that. I'm absolutely fired up to actually have our roots planted, and to have a home environment where my wife really gets to spread her wings, so to speak, and we get to set up home base, for our kids for the next 10-15 years. where they can actually come back and have that home feeling and that type of thing. We probably will have multiple, but I'm excited about this one, at least for right now. So that's what we're going to be doing at the tail end of the year. I think that home is going to be completed in December. So I'm excited about that. I'm also really excited at kind of what this next journey is from an employment standpoint. There's a lot of companies that I'm talking with right now here in Austin. And I'm put here on this earth to make a difference, whether it's through quality products or services or by making an impact on people. And so people here in the local community here in Austin, I'm really interested in helping companies either make money, make more money, or do what they do more profitably. And by being a part of their business, I'm interested in that. I like kind of the freight or third party logistics business and, you know, applying technology to that problem solving industry. I also like aggregating government need and connecting it with commercial capabilities. And so that's exactly what it is that I'm doing. I'm also interested to kind of get a little bit more strategic with Knucklehead, but I'm also interested in just producing more content and really just putting things out there for people to consume, because I understand people's need for entertainment, and it's cool to talk about mistakes and screwing up. And so we're really enjoying putting more information out there.
Heck yeah, man. So if you're going to be in Austin, September 10th through the 14th, I will be there.
Nice. Absolutely. Well, it sounds like we may sit
we'll
down.
Get
I, don't, I don't know if you drink beer, but I will definitely throw down a shiner or two with you.
It's been a long time, man. I've been sober for many years because I used to abuse alcohol pretty regularly. So been sober for a couple years, but we'll figure something out. I'm speaking over at the New Media Summit, and one of the podcast icons, as they call it. I'll be over at New Media Summit. That's going on September 11th through the 13th in Austin. So I'm
That's
really
awesome.
Looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be pretty cool. I'll get to spend the weekend with like 30 or 40 other podcasters, and then there's a bunch of people that are attending that want to start, or they have one, but they're not at a certain level yet or whatever. So get to meet a whole bunch of people in the new media space. So it's going to be good. It's going to be a good good event. So we'll have to hook
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. We will.
Perfect.
We'll leave the alcohol behind the bar, and we'll grab some grab some coffee.
Perfect. So this is the moment of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug your friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, products, movies, give a shout out, favorite food, whatever you want. This is your moment to shamelessly plug. Go.
If you are a aspiring business owner, I think that there's a lot of information that's out there. However, I really enjoy the recent introduction to the veteran business owner community that I've had over the course of the last year to 2 years. Chris Hoffman, the Veteran Empowerment Transition, I think is the name of his business. Veteran Empowerment Transition and Coaching is the name of his business. And he's done a phenomenal job. He's out in San Diego. And he's also doing some great things right now. I think he's literally going through a lot of transition in his life. But if you're an aspiring business owner, my encouragement to you is to go and access as much material that you don't have to pay for. However, you get what you pay for in that scenario. So
yeah.
My suggestion would be to go and put yourself out there. I've invested over $16,000 worth $16,000 of self-development material into my mindset over the last decade. And it's not that that's a lot, but if you really kind of categorize that, that's about maybe a semester or so of tuition at a relatively inexpensive community college, right? And so I'm very thankful for the mindset that I have. I wish that there was more that I could show, not only my kids but my wife, right? So I don't have a private jet to go, throw my kids in and fly across the world. But what I do have is a 7-year-old who's very excited about learning. I have a 4-year-old who's very excited about being able to read. And my encouragement to those, either those parents or those people who are wanting to learn something new, that if you can teach somebody to read, or if you can help somebody understand and comprehend things better, then what ends up happening is those people can go out and teach themselves, or they can learn differently. And I think the steps in order to do that, Chris does a really good job in his new book that he published. Knucklehead Podcast, you can download episodes on iTunes, or you can go to Google Play and check it out there. I think those are some good things. You can go to Echelon Front. Echelon Front is an organization that was started by a gentleman named Jocko Willenick and Leif Babin. They are Navy SEALs that were part of the Battle of Ramadi. They were very, very influential in helping us win the war. It was the surge in, I think, in 2005, 2006, where the United States really wrecked shop there in Iraq and really made a difference for the local populace that was there. They created a leadership, kind of military style consulting and leadership organization called Echelon Front. They have musters where they get people together and they share best practices and principles. JP Donnell is one of their speakers. He was on our podcast recently. He has an apparel company called Never Settle Apparel. You can go there and support his business. But you can also go to Echelon Front. If you want to type in Knucklehead 2018, you'll get $300 off your muster ticket there. So go check that out and save some money and go put yourself in an environment where you can learn. And there's a myriad of different guys. And Tim Kennedy does enough promoting himself with, you know, being a Green Beret. He's got a new show coming out on Discovery Channel. He also was guest on episode 15 for Knucklehead Podcast. If you want to hear, you know, what his definition of being an alpha male is all about and how people misunderstand truly what it is to be alpha. You run the risk of being an omega, which means that you're going to go do your own thing. You're going to go kick your own doors in, but you'll have no followers. An alpha first insinuates that you're going to be leading yourself, and then you can go lead other people. So hopefully that is 90 seconds of shameless plugs, and we got our money's worth.
I like it, man. I like it. Jocko's doing some really cool things. I think that because I hear or I read things all the time. You know, I hear people that are like, "Oh, I was in the military. I'm gonna, you know, be a leadership person. You know, whatever." And then people are like, "Oh, you're trying to be like Jocko." He's like, I think Jocko's pretty much set the bar for military consulting. You know, he's doing some amazing things, you know. So, yep. And Chris Hoffman's an awesome dude, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but absolutely. Chris is great. And Jocko has – so there's kind of a unique blend of what he's been able to do, right? He's been able to capitalize on the new media – because he's got a great voice. He's got a very imposing physical presence. And then he's also got a compelling way of delivering and packaging his message. So I'd argue that although he's doing some great things, there's people, some incredible people, Dave Burke, if you don't know who Dave Burke is, who's part of those speakers, his coaching on the OODA loop principle, the observe, orient, decide, act, methodology that they used. He's an F-18, where he was a Marine pilot, and he may have been the only or one of the only Marines that was an instructor at Top Gun or the lead instructor at Top Gun. But he was also a military aviator that was on the ground with Jocko and his unit, communicating and coordinating fire with aviators while he was on the ground. Dave Burke is an incredible individual who communicates right there alongside Jocko, and he's kind of on the speaker circuit with them at Echelon Front. JP Donnell was the youngest SEAL that was part of that group. He is an absolute stud of a human being, an incredible dad, a great husband, lives his life based off principle. He's not perfect. Nobody is, but he's a phenomenal individual. Mike Cirelli, who's on, I think he's actually doing some speaking with him now. Mike Cirelli started a executive level education transition program called Vetted. He is part of that speaking circuit too. So Vetted is phenomenal. They're doing some incredible things here in Austin. So Jocko is great, but Jocko is also very, very, very much part of the show.
Oh yeah. Love it. All right, man. So as we wrap up and close the show, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
Hey, listen, there's so many of us that need help. I can't think, I mean, Tiger Woods in his heyday still had a swing coach, right? Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan's personal trainer, Tim Grover, wrote a book called Relentless. And you wouldn't know that Michael was as great as he was unless you take the time to read that. But he still had a coach. He had somebody that helped them. So everybody who's out there, it's okay. Don't be a beta and go ask for some help.
Yeah, man. I think it's so true. You know, the best of the best. Even I couldn't wrap my head around this. Literally, I was like, wait a minute, you're at the top of the game. Like, I don't if that coach is teaching the best, how come that coach is not doing it himself? Like, I don't, what is happening right now? But I look at Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins has coaches. He has business coaches. He has mentors. He has, like, I don't think you ever get to a point where you just don't have a mentor. You know, I mean, if Tony Robbins is making like millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, he's like dominating, you know, the speaker circuit. He's dominating, you know, personal development, like all that stuff and business and stuff. I mean, and he has coaches that are advising him. I mean, how far do you go? You know, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah. Yeah. And in some cases, as guys, we shy away from, the word therapy, or, you know, the opportunity to go and listen to somebody who is a therapist. Right. But I had somebody say to me recently, just through some challenges that I've had to personally overcome, you should listen to your wife more. And that was exactly what they told me. You should listen to your wife more. And there's incredible wisdom in your spouse. And that's why, you know, Napoleon Hill talks about it when one of his success principles is choosing the right partner is an absolute critical component to what it is that you will accomplish in your lifetime. And so being able to have that right partner, and whether it's your first one, second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever, my dad's on his sixth marriage at this point, he's been able to, I'm just communicating with you the importance of choosing the right partner. I've been fortunate enough to have an incredible woman right alongside me this entire time. And I should listen to her more. I'll just put it to you that way. She's pretty incredible. So.
Awesome. Love it, man. So I want to thank you for your time and, dropped amazing value. And, yeah, man, you rock, dude.
You're a stud. But you are the TEDx speaker. You're Sean Douglas. You are the Sean Douglas. So I just appreciate you carving out, you know, an hour or so out of the day to chat with me. I appreciate your audience, you know, giving me the opportunity to chat with them a little bit. And you're a stud. You inspire me, man. Guys who are in the military who can walk and chew gum, meaning that they can think dynamically and go out there and make some things happen in the marketplace. It's people like you that give me fuel to go out there and try to get a little bit better at what it is that I'm doing. So I appreciate you.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate you. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything resonated with you, please connect with Steven. He is doing amazing things. Check out the Knucklehead Podcast. It's everywhere. You can't miss it. Look at the show notes. Look at all of the links. Go ahead and click on those and connect with him. You won't regret it. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, everywhere that podcasts are. You can subscribe, rate, and review to the Knucklehead Podcast and to also Life Transformation Radio. As I close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold in your heart. I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great day.